answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Senior Israeli official telling Fox News that Ismail Katib, Iran's intelligence minister, was killed in a precision strike overnight. Katib was responsible for managing Iran's global cells, these sleeper cells in countries around the world that even threatened U.S. politicians and President Trump. This official says this man had blood on his hands, American blood. They go on to say that Katib was actually the only person to survive the opening round of strikes in Operation Epic Fury that killed Iran's supreme leader, those 40 officials killed in around 40 seconds. All of this taking place as we're tracking new incoming fire from Iran. Overnight, missiles soared through the skies of central Israel, some of them intercepted, others had cluster munitions on top. And you can see in this aftermath video here, just outside of Tel Aviv, flames spewing from a parking area beneath a building around the central part of the country. Two people were killed.
That is Trey Yangs reporting for Fox News from the strikes overnight into Tel Aviv. Keep in mind what he said. Some of these weapons delivered into our country, Israel, carried additional munitions, cluster bombs. They're looking to kill anyone and everyone. They do not care. The Iranians do not care if they attack civilian population. They were targeting that apartment complex where they knew there would be people living. Now, in return, Israel went after a building that had residents involved, but they gave them advance warning, 1 hour warning. We're going to strike this building. And they did. But they gave a warning in advance. We've got a lot on board for you for today. Hey, point here. Jerome called it to my attention. Thank you, Jerome. Your national debt just went up. You got an extra dollar? Can you loan somebody a dime? Come on. January 1, 2025, our national debt was $36 trillion. That was January 1, 2025. Today, here we are, March 18, 2026, and we just crossed the $39 trillion mark. Now, of course, some of it could be blamed on the war, not all of it. A lot of it's trying to cover up fraud and get back money that was stolen from the American public. But yes, we have to do more cutting, not more spending. Larry Connors USA with you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. And reminding you when you're with us, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education, just as we gave you then about the current national debt. $39 trillion. What a gift to give your children and grandchildren, right? In our next hour, TSA is saying and making it very clear with the situation we're dealing with right now, we might have to start shutting down some airports. I discussed this with you previously, especially small regional airports. They may shut it down. We don't have the staff. They're not being paid. Some of them still trying to come to work. But they're reaching a point where they got to put bread on the table for their family. And the Democrats shut down because they want to basically defang ICE. Means that DHS people, such as TSA workers, are not getting their money. Thank God for those who are showing up, but again, they're being overworked. And when that happens, you could have a slip, something get by them. Terrorists only need one opportunity. So if you got flights coming up in the near future, you might well find your flights are being canceled, either by the airline or TSA not being available, or even some airports having to say, we're shutting down for now. Also, later in this hour, or next hour, there is a game many of your children might be playing. You might think it looks all fun and simple. My guest is going to tell you this particular game is possibly grooming your children and certainly taking advantage of them. I'll have details of that internet game coming up in our next hour. Later this hour, the CEO of an oil company saying how much the Strait Hormuz is important to you, our nation, and the world, and how it could affect you directly. Plus, we have part two of the story behind the story, which we began yesterday. The Houston mass murder case happened in 1973, before the word serial killing was invented. But at least 30 young boys kidnapped, tortured, sexually abused, and then murdered. The story behind the story before we wrap up this hour. Back to where we stand right now in dealing with Iran. Trump was making a point saying, if we were not doing what we are doing now, we would really have hell to pay and keep in mind of what the past has been.
So they've been a threat for a long time, but they've really been a threat. If I didn't terminate Obama's horrible deal that he made, the Iran nuclear deal, you would have had a nuclear war 4 years ago. You would have had nuclear holocaust, and you would have had it again if we didn't bomb the site.
The most important thing to look at here is Iran's ability to deliver missiles to Israel and regional countries. And that was the concern that President Trump was talking about there. Iran was pursuing a nuclear weapon, and if they could attach that weapon to the top of a ballistic missile, it would be landing in regional countries or allies like Israel. And that was what the president has described as an imminent threat against the United States, its forces in the region, and of course, allies like Israel.
That is Trey Yingst again talking about what Trump has been doing. And Trump is correct. If we had continued along the trajectory that Obama started us, they would have that nuclear weapon. And I do not want to hear from the left and those even on the right who say, well, we don't have an imminent threat. What do you mean imminent? You're seconds from a crash? No, we're not seconds, maybe. But do you want to allow Iran any more time whatsoever to develop a nuclear weapon? Okay, so it's not going to happen this 3 months, but maybe 3 months later or a year later, any time that we know that they are enriching uranium beyond the need for what they would have for civil use, they're weaponizing it. How can you sit there and say, well, let's give them another year or two, see what they do? Say no to nukes. Can we make that a phrase? No to nukes in Iran's hands. And of course, do not forget all the illegals we have in our nation. They came across through the open border. Thank you, Joe Biden. And our new border czar, of course, is now overseeing the Border Patrol, Tom Holman.
And these agitators, and they're out there interfering with ICE operations. I can't tell you how many serious public safety threats and national security threats escaped because that heads up were there, whether the whistles or the screaming or AOC was saying, well, I won't educate my constituency about their constitutional rights. What she was actually doing is educating them how to evade arrest. Yep. Don't answer a door. You have the right to do this, right to do that. And Massachusetts, what we're talking about right now, about a year ago, I gave a speech at CPAC, and I was angry at the speech because just before I gave that speech, I read a list of the 10 worst criminals we took off the streets of Massachusetts. Eight of them raped children. So the agitators don't understand it, then they're just idiots. But they need to understand 70% of everybody arrested a public safety threat or a criminal. That's who we're going to arrest. And Schumer out there saying that ISIS terrorizing communities? No, the people we're arresting are terrorizing communities, and that's why we're out there putting our lives on the line to arrest these people and take them off the street, make this country safer again.
Do we have ICE agents molesting children, raping them, killing them, burning them? Do we have ICE agents doing that? To my knowledge, no. Could there be one or two? Could be. But we do know that hundreds of illegals in our country have carried out such crime. Thousands. Let me correct that. I want to put that in contrast to the recently installed remarks of the recently installed Irish president. She made her maiden St. Patrick's Day address and said, we need to remember of St. Patrick. We need to remember that he was always inviting us to respond with hospitality and kindness from those fleeing from their countries. If we do that in this nation, if they come here legally, But we're talking about the illegals that have come in the nation that brought chaos. They don't want to be part of our nation. They want to take over our nation. And which, by the way, the remarks of the newly installed Irish President Connolly immediately got pushed back. They're saying the same thing in Ireland. We don't want a bunch of illegals in our country. And we don't want even more legal migration now because we can't handle it. Senate confirmation hearings open today on Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen to serve as the Director of Homeland Security. Of course, this is after Kristi Noem was removed. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is leading these hearings. But it quickly became apparent his concern seemed to be more of a personal dislike for Mullen, who also began his opening statement acknowledging that, and that's where the fight started.
Before I can start my opening statement, I have to address the remarks the chairman made, calling me a liar. Sir, I think there's everybody in this room knows that I'm very blunt and direct to the point, and if I have something to say, I'll say it directly to your face. If you recall back in my House days, we actually did have this conversation because of the remarks that I made. You were in a room. I simply addressed that I said I could understand because of the behavior you were having, that I could understand why the neighbor did what he did. As far as my terms, the snake in the grass, sir, I work around this room to try to fix problems. I've worked with many people in this room. Seems like you fight Republicans more than you work with us. I did address those remarks. I did explain your gimmicks by the amendment you put forth. And as far as me saying that I invoke violence, I don't. I don't think anybody should be hit by surprise. I don't like that. But if I do have something to say, everybody in this room knows I'll come straight to you. I'll say it publicly and I'll say it privately, but I'll never say it behind your back. So now, for you to say I'm a liar, sir, that's not accurate.
Not accurate. It was November 2017 that Senator Paul was attacked by a neighbor. He got 6 broken ribs, bruised lungs, all of this over dispute over yard debris. That's what they're talking about, the attack that had previously happened. And you heard Mark Wayne Mullen say, that's what I was trying to convey. And you took my words. Well, in fact, you didn't take them out of context. You lied about them. And Mullen continued.
I can have different opinions with everybody in this room, but as Secretary of Homeland, I'll be protecting everybody, including Kentucky, as much as I will my own backyard in Oklahoma. It's bigger than the partisan bickering that we have. It's bigger than the political differences we have. The truth is, I have a job to do, and I don't like to fail at anything, at all. So I can set it aside if you're willing to set it aside. Let me earn your respect. Let me earn the job. I won't fail you. I won't back down from a challenge. And I'll also admit when I'm wrong. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. I make mistakes just like anybody else. But mistakes, if you own them, you can learn from them and you can move ahead. And I'll make that commitment to you.
And that is where, after he finished his statement, Senator Rand Paul wanted to go back after Mullen. Basically, this sounds like a personal vendetta more than a confirmation hearing.
The record should show, and I think will show, a lack of contrition, no apology, and no regrets for your support. You completely understand the violence that was perpetrated on me. You're unrepentant. The only thing you quibble about is whether I met you somehow when you were in the House. I don't think we ever met when you were in the House. And this idea that the only thing you're upset about is not that you were for violence. What you're upset about is that I called you a liar because you said it to my face, which really more about this machismo that you have. When in Oklahoma the media ask you about the refugee welfare programs, the programs you voted to continue funding, it was this whole idea that you were going to transfer because you were uncomfortable, your anger, low impulse control, you know, causes you to then go after and decide that you're going to go after me as well. And so you say you completely understood that I was assaulted from behind, had 6 ribs broken and part of my lung removed, and that was just fine. That's something that you, I guess, approve of as far as resolution of political problems. When I talked to you privately on the phone, there was no apology. You just said, well, we can let our political difference, you know, go by. And you said a few minutes ago, we can just set it aside. Well, political differences we can, but when you say that you agree with a felon, a Trump-hating felon who attacked me, somehow you think I'm just going to set that aside? Oh, it's no big deal. You know, I lay in pain for 2 months, had 6 ribs broken, 3 of them separated, grinding upon bone on bone for months, had part of my lung removed, and you think that's great and to be extolled? I mean, the sheer lack of any kind of self-awareness that you're going to be leading thousands of men and women who will be have the use of force, and there's been great questions in our country about how that will be used, and you think a violent attack is just fine.
What's he want? Does he want him groveling at his feet? I really don't understand where Senator Rand Paul is going on a Senate confirmation to be head of DHS. And then Senator Paul finally got around to a question.
My first question is, do you think that justifying that kind of violence sets a good example for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I didn't know the extent of your damage. When the phone call was made, I made it to you and I tried to talk to you. You didn't engage at all. In fact, you said, get your paperwork in. It's got to be in three days in between.
You offered no apology.
Sir?
And you offer no apology today and no regrets. Haven't heard the word apologize, haven't heard the word regret, haven't heard I misspoke and it was heated and I made a mistake. Haven't heard any of those words.
And you didn't send flowers.
Actually, it wasn't heated, and I'm not apologizing for pointing out your character.
Good. So you're jolly well fine, and you want the American public and the people up here to vote that may or may not vote for you to know that you supported the felonious violent attack on me from behind.
I did not say I supported it. I said I understood it. There's a difference.
That means you really didn't approve of it, just completely understand it. What do you think most people would interpret completely understand to be support for or a condemnation of the violence?
Sir, as I said, we can have our differences. It's not going to keep me from doing my job as Secretary of Homeland Security.
But you didn't send flowers either, much less a get well card. Is that a Senate hearing or a little sissy fight back and forth between two men for a very important position? I'll let you be the judge. You know kind of where I stand by what I've said. Coming up, an oil exec on the Strait of Hormuz, how it could affect you. And the story behind the story continues. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We've been talking constantly for several days now about the Strait of Hormuz and how important that is for shipping, cargo shipping of various types, and especially oil. And here's where my next guest comes into play for us, Dan Doyle, president of Reliance Well Services and Arena Resources. Dan, welcome aboard, sir.
How you doing, Larry? Glad to be here.
Well, I noticed you had an op-ed in Fox News Digital making the case that one on New York fracking case. I want to get to that in a moment, but let's discuss the oil, or rather the oil coming through the Strait of Hormuz. What, 20% of the global oil comes through that area?
20% of global oil and 30% of all seaborne oil. So 30% of all oil on ships, which is a lot.
And how much, now, to my understanding, the U.S. Produces about 12 million barrels a day, yeah. And then we're using about 8 million more than that a day. Is that right?
Yeah, we're a little closer, you know, up in the 13s, Larry, but it's, we're kind of settled right there because we've gone through this, you know, big rig count decline. But we burn about, total demand, U.S. demand is about 20 all in.
And we're not full to the full energy independence that Trump wanted us. And in fact, had us on track to do in the first term until Biden came in and began to shut everything down. And everybody began pushing, you got to have solar panels. You've got to have wind farms. Sure. You can't do any more coal digging.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was, you know, it was just a crazy amount of disingenuousness, especially with his Inflation Reduction Act, all the green pork that went into that and really yielded nothing. That's really, really didn't yield anything. So they stopped us from leasing our drilling company. We couldn't lease acreage out in the western states for 2 years, just about, because they put a stop to all BLM, Bureau of Land Management acreage, so which is essential in the western states for oil production.
And the same for offshore. Now, my dad isn't been in the oil business. I'm oil-filled trash and proud of it, by the way. But the attitude for a lot of the oil companies was, even if you have a lease open, why are you going to dump money into it when they might turn around 30 days from then and begin to shut it down and not let you take anything to product?
Well, that's right. And the ramp up to developing oil production can be years, maybe even close to a decade for offshore. So when there's uncertainty, you know, political, you know, winds blowing this way and that, there's uncertainty, it just doesn't happen. So we could be a lot further along, a lot more insulated from this entire Mideast quagmire right now, had we had steady oil policy all along. But people came along and said, no, it's renewables. And I could tell you, you know, me and all my oil field brethren, you know, I'm a little unusual because I frack wells and drill them, you know, for our own account. And we, you know, we're not against renewables. Where they make sense is where they make sense. Sure, you know, solar in Arizona, wind in Wyoming. But, you know, it's good for all, you know, this universal, you know, renewables work everywhere. It's just false, absolutely false. The only thing that works everywhere is nuclear or oil and gas, period. And, you know, we're kind of sold a false bill of goods, and people are paying for that now.
All right.
Know, at the pump.
There's several roads I want to go down that, but before I get too far off, with Venezuela, what about the oil reserves inside Venezuela with what Trump is doing and acquiring mineral rights supposedly moving forward?
Well, you know, Venezuela is interesting. It was at one time about 3.5 million barrels a day decades ago. And then with a couple of waves of nationalization, you know, they knocked out just about everyone other than Chevron of the U.S. companies. And everybody lost money. You know, the Chinese are still working in Venezuela,
right,
particularly Lake Maracaibo area. But really, their production's only about 1 million barrels a day. The military for really was the only one. I wrote an article. I think it was in Fox News on this too. But with a friend of mine who's a Venezuelan teacher at Colorado School of Mines, professor, and it's about 1 million barrels a day, and it's going to take a long, long time to ramp it up. There's a lot of issues, so it's really not going to be the offset that we were hoping for.
All right, back to the point that we're not fully energy independent. And if we stay at what we are now and nothing else is brought in, and a lot of the imports we bring in is in part trade policies that we want relations with other countries. So it's not just for the oil. But if we were locked down and said nothing but what you've got in your country and off your shore, and Strait of Hormuz oil doesn't really affect us directly, but it's a world market.
Right. That's right. You know, we still take crude from all over. But part of that, too, is our refineries along the Gulf Coast were for the most part built to handle heavier sulfur rich crudes. And that was coming out of the Mayan crude fields in Mexico, out of Venezuela, back when Venezuela was really producing. And just to add something to my previous comment about Venezuela, it's just that it's going to take so much time to get it back to what it was. It's nothing that can help us right away, you know.
All right.
But anyways, we needed these heavy crudes, the Alberta crudes, and that's how it was built and stuff coming out of Saudi Arabia. So that's kind of one of the reasons why we have to import crude into the United States, because the shales and most of the crudes produced in America are now shale, which is low sulfur, lightweight, you know, real flashy oil. It's not exactly the right product mix for these refineries.
All right, so we got the West Texas oil sweet crude that's a lot easier for refining, but then right, the issue of fracking. Now, a lot of folks, you mentioned that, they're thinking about, you want to blow up everything to get to something.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with fracking. It's absolutely ridiculous that it became politicized. 3/4 of all oil production produced in America is from fracking wells. 75%. If we didn't have that, Larry, if we didn't have that 75%, you're taking 9 million barrels off the market. If you took 9 million barrels off the market, it would be a doubling of what's just happened in the Strait of Hormuz. And you know, to the point of that article in Fox News, people suffer. The poor especially suffer because they're the ones that have got to go to the, you know, gas pump. And truthfully, it is unfortunate that it is the blue states, especially where there's oil production, that shut it down, like California, New York, that doesn't allow any fracking, and they just make it more expensive. New York has a 40% higher electric rate than anybody else, 23% higher natural gas rate than the national average. And there's no reason for this. It's just politics. And it's like, you guys, there's no replacement for oil and gas.
Dan,
you're not going to replace the 9 million barrels a day with wind and solar. Not going to happen. And it's it's time we wake up and kind of push back on this.
You're listening, Dan Doyle, president of Reliance Well Services. In a thumbnail sketch, fracking, exploding the ground around and under the well to make crevices where more oil can seep in. But then we hear reports, oh, we're having earthquakes and everything else because of it.
Now, it's not because of fracking. It's groundwater injection. And I've got friends that were involved kind of ground zero down in Oklahoma and in Ohio where this occurred. And what it is, it's deep injection wells and, you know, where you're disposing of that brine water. So, you know, the industry is very nimble and, you know, there's less and less of that going on. You're replacing what you pulled out of it with something else, but you get in these strike slip faults that are naturally occurring underground and you push fluid into them and there's a tension release. And, you know, it's going to happen one way or another. I'm not saying it's right, but it's going to, you know, it's just a natural occurrence. And so it does occur, but it is not from fracking. However, it is from byproducts of fracking, which is, you know, naturally occurring brine water in that you produce alongside the oil.
And
but
how
what
far,
the industry is doing is
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what the industry's response to that is they're retaining more of this brine water and using it in frack jobs and going to 100% recycle rates. So there's less being pumped away into these zones. And also, there's no more permitting going on in known fault zones.
And I remember nights out on the wells with my dad, Halliburton or Schlumberger out there pumping mud into the well, trying to force the oil up and sealing the casing off. So all of that's still taking place, but can we truly be energy independent? Forget the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, you know, if energy independence, you know, it's complicated. I mean, it comes down to other factors than just crude production, but we're really close. And I mean, there's metrics you can use to say, yeah, we're there, but we're not going to get there. We're not going to get U.S. production from 13.5 million or so up to 20. It's just not going to happen. That's a big move. And, you know, if Trump doesn't win the next election, an oil friendly
right.
I got you. Subject,
we all caught that slip. We caught that slip of the tongue. Well,
who knows?
We're going to have to let you go. But of course, I guess we could always do like the other guy did, and that is rob our oil reserves. That's going to be good for us.
Right.
Dan, I want to have you back in the future because we got a lot to discuss in detail we could not get down to, but I thank you very much.
Okay, Larry, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Dan Doyle, president of Reliance Well Services. Coming up, the second part of the story behind the story, the Houston mass murders of 30 young boys.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuire Moving, LarryConnorsUSA.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and inefficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law is already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.
And it's bad, bad. Leroy Brown.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Mama.
Who's this?
It's Wayne.
Yes, this is Mama, baby.
Mama? I killed Dean.
Wayne?
Ma'am?
Wayne, you didn't?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, God. Where are you?
It's all right. Wayne? It's all right. It's all right.
Where are you?
I'm out of his warehouse.
Where?
Out of that warehouse he keeps.
Can I come out there?
Yeah, yes. No.
Is it on Harry Park?
You can't. No, you can't come. I'm with the police, Mama.
Those were the words of Elmer Wayne Henley confessing on the phone with his mother that he had killed a man. The man he killed was basically suspected of numerous serial killings, although they weren't called that at that time. This was August 9, 1973. Elmer Wayne Henley Jr., you were listening to, had killed Dean Arnold Coral the night before. Dean Arnold Coral, I should say, had Elmer Wayne Henley Jr. and another guy by the name of David Wayne Brooks join him in bringing young boys to his apartment, his house in Pasadena, Texas, where they would be grabbed up, sexually tortured, mutilated repeatedly, and then killed. and there were at least 30 that we know of. I say that we know of because in this story behind the story, there's so many different levels of it. That's why we had to start this story yesterday. If you missed yesterday's beginning, I strongly encourage you to go back and pull up the podcast of Larry Connors USA. We aired yesterday at noon and also again in our 6 to 8 normal time frame. But pull up that podcast and catch the beginning of the story behind the story. We'll refill some of it for you. If you listened yesterday, some of it seems repetitive, but it's important to keep things in perspective for you. There were numerous boys missing from one area of Houston called the Heights over a period of about 2 years. And police would halfway investigate them. These were white, poor neighborhoods. And basically, they just labeled the boys as runaways. And some, in fact, were. And some had planned to run away, but then they ran into Elmer Wayne Henley Jr. or David Brooks, who enticed them to go with them to Dean Corll's home, where he would give them drugs and alcohol and eventually tie them to what was considered a torture board. Two large sheets of wood that they had cut holes in so they could attach handcuffs for the hands and for the feet. And a hole in about the center of the board where the boys' genitals would be exposed so they could torture them that way. I got the call that morning right after Dean Corll had called police to begin with, confessing. But it took a while to begin to piece the story together. The call he made to his mother, which, by the way, at the night he killed Dean Corll, and unbeknown to me, I was living with a friend. Yep, you're right, a girlfriend, who later became my wife. But the bottom line is I was living within about less than 2 miles from where all this was going down. No one was aware of it. As they began to investigate and talk to neighbors, said, yeah, we'd see them bring in a bunch of boys from time to time and never thought anything of it. And every young boy they brought in was carried out, wrapped in plastic, to be buried somewhere and covered over with lime. Elmer Wayne Henley Jr. and that phone call was using a phone by a KPRC television reporter, Jack Cato. He gets credit for that because he knew Wayne wanted to call his mama. He said, you can use the radio in my car. We'll hook you up. And, of course, he calls his station and said, you need to record this conversation, which they did. As he detailed for his mother what had happened. Why did he kill Corll? Well, Henley admitted later he expected that Corll was preparing to kill him.
Henley said he and two other young people were intended victims Wednesday morning. At that time, they had passed out at Corll's house after an all-night party.
I woke up and he was clamping handcuffs on me. I was laying on my stomach. The other two were on their stomach, and they were handcuffed, and their feet were tied. I can't remember whether he tied my feet afterwards or they were tied when I woke up.
I'd torture him if he'd let me go.
Was he going to, would he want you to kill them then?
To begin with, he wanted to kill me. He was mad because I brought the chick over there. The chick wanted to run away from home, and I was going to travel with Dean. I thought it was safe. I didn't know no better.
Henley said at one point, Corll put down his gun. He picked it up, ordered Corll to release the other victims, but he refused. And Henley says he shot Corll repeatedly. Henley's initial story makes it sound as if he were, in effect, a hero. But police suspicions were confirmed the next day. Henley said he had been involved in the murder and burial of some victims found in the dirt floor of this storage shed.
That storage shed was basically about a 10 by 15 long boat shed with a ground dirt floor. That was part of my report in Houston at the time on the case. When he led them to the boat shed, as they started digging, they quickly recovered 8 bodies. Young men wrapped in plastic, covered with lime, and it had done a good job of decomposing what was available. The next day they went back and found more. They ended up finding something like 17 or 18 in the boat shed. And then Elmer Wayne Henley said, well, there were other boys that we killed and we took to the piney woods of East Texas.
The trail of graves stretched into the piney woods of East Texas near Sam Rayburn Lake, not too far from Lufkin. Henley told Lawman that he helped Carl bury more victims in this area. At this time, 18-year-old David Brooks of Houston was also in custody as a suspect. Henley pointed to one spot and said, there are 2 bodies here, but only one was uncovered. So Henley said, that means there are 2 at the other site. After killing a rattlesnake, Lawman and Newsman moved cautiously through the heavy brush to the next location. Again, the shovels dug in, and Henley decided to start talking again also.
Are these just some boys that he picked up, or I helped him get, rather? And he raped them, ended up killing them, brought them down here and buried them.
What part did you play in that?
I helped him pick them.
What part did you play in any of the killing, or did you?
No comment.
Wayne, this has been going on for some time, hasn't it?
A year ago last winter.
That's when you got into it?
Yes.
Now, you know, or you think you know, that maybe he was involved in this more than a year ago, right?
I know.
In what way do you know?
I was told.
By him?
By him. By David Brooks.
Now, David Brooks is another person who has been named. Now, what role did he play in all of this?
Same as mine.
Now, that interview I did with Henley, the police allowed us to have the interview with him. The law enforcement, we had county involved, as well as some federal agents were getting involved. But prior to that, I sat down with him outside a patrol car, just sitting in the dirt. I didn't smoke at the time, but I borrowed cigarettes from an officer, so I could offer one to him, and we just sat there and talked. The most chilling thing in that conversation that was not recorded, the most chilling thing, no remorse. No remorse. And yet, from the piney woods of East Texas, there was more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Elmer Wayne Henley and David Brooks sit in the sun on a Gulf Coast beach near the small town of High Island, east of Houston. They have brought lawmen here to search for more bodies. 21 bodies have been found so far in Houston and at Lake Sam Rayburn. Big 2 newsman Jack Cato and cameraman Phil Lauder are on the scene as lawmen and the jail trustees dig for bodies. Newsman Cato describes the scene as it unfolds before him.
This is the second location that trustees from the Houston jail and a couple of deputy sheriffs have dug up. 4 locations after the first one, 3 more possibly after this one. The group of the 2 prisoners and Houston police and deputy sheriffs are on down another 50 feet looking for the next two locations. This is just 30 feet from the Gulf. Possibly the shoreline was a little higher, a little more shallow when these bodies were put out here, but there's no doubt the first one in a plastic sack and remains in this one that it is actually a body that was left here on the beach at High Island.
He pointed to another location, and they started digging. And not 20 feet from that location was a family on vacation with their trailer home down on the beach. Once they realized what was going on, they quickly packed up, obviously moved out. At one point while we were down there, an elderly woman was making her way slowly over the sand coming our direction. And one of my photographers, a gruff old boy, looked at her and said, "Lady, what are you doing here? This is a crime scene. You have no business being here." And her answer, "Sonny, I am the justice of the peace." So she was there to investigate the crime. In Texas at that time, a justice of the peace was equivalent to a medical examiner. They did not carve into the body and look for the exact cause, but they would look at it and then pronounce them dead. Then they went to a medical examiner. So that's why she was down on the beach going through this. And again, these were called at that time a mass murder. That was in 1973. It was later in the 70s that an FBI special agent came up with the term serial killer. The other key issues here missing. How many other boys had been killed? Dean Coral had lived in the Atlanta area before he moved to Houston, Pasadena. There were a lot of boys missing around Atlanta that were never really answered as to what happened. There were still other boys missing in the Houston area, never found. Many of those that had been found, despite the decomposition with the lime, many could be identified. Some weren't. Dean Coral, of course, had been executed by Henley for what he was doing. The trial started for both men. Brooks was convicted of his part, ended up dying in a Galveston hospital in 2020 from COVID-related illnesses. He had been sentenced to 45 years. Or had served 45 years of a life sentence. Elmer Wayne Henley was sentenced to numerous life terms. He's still in the Huntsville prison system. Maybe 3 years ago or less, I was contacted by someone supposedly representing him, asking if I was a Larry Connors who had talked to him. He wanted to do an interview with me. I'm going to admit something to you. I said no. I had lost interest in doing anything with Elmer Wayne Henley Jr., who was going to spend the last of his days locked up as I thought he should be, short of execution, which I thought should have been carried out, but wasn't. He turned to painting as a way to relieve his tension in his jail time, and many of the relatives got upset that maybe he was making money off of selling his paintings by a mass or serial killer. There are still other aspects of the mass murders I just can't get into, and I will tell you they still come to mind from date to date. Our story behind the story tomorrow, we're going to do something a little lighter for you. We grew up poor. I didn't know we were poor. How about you? Our second hour is still to come. And don't forget our pledge, one nation under God.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
All I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit RBASTL.com. RBASTL.com. Superior products, exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.